Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com.
That is it!
And that's what did it. You're embarrassing the country, and that's what frustrated that school board member.
All right, that's enough.
School board.
This is a school board meeting.
School board.
About band.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here are your hosts, Eric Bilstad and Vince Vitrano.
10 minutes after 9 on this Wednesday morning. From the Couture to the Modern to Riverwalk, Drexel Town Square, even the Calatrava addition to the Milwaukee Art Museum. A single Milwaukee-based company has had a hand in all of these important places. And there's a new man in charge. Pat Cresson takes the reins of Grafe, a full-service engineering, planning, and design firm.
It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine?
The Mr. Rogers bit, twice relevant, Eric, because Grafe has a hand in designing our neighborhoods, but is also literally our neighbor here in downtown Milwaukee at the Avenue. They are directly above our WTMJ studios. If you ever visit the Market Hall, Third Street Market Hall, you look up, there's Grafe, new president and CEO of Grafe, Pat Cresson, in studio with us this morning. Hello, neighbor.
Hey, good morning,
nice
neighbors.
To see you. Thanks for coming down.
Thanks for the invite.
So let's do this. I want to explain what Grafe does. So I mentioned in some pretty famous buildings there in Milwaukee, places that we know. Eric, who is the architect for the Couture skyscraper?
Oh, geez.
We've had him on the show
before.
Yes,
I know. I've talked
First
to
name,
him.
Matt. Last name, I'll help you.
Rinker.
Yep.
I was close.
Okay. Trick question here. Who designed the Calatrava addition to the art museum?
It wasn't
Calatrava. It was. Santiago Calatrava.
Okay. So, man, you're throwing me.
Who makes those buildings work from the inside? Who takes care of, designs the plumbing and the elevator shafts? Am I on the right track, Pat?
Yes, sir, you are.
Well, you don't get the sexy headlines, right? But you're a really important part of some of these buildings that we all know.
Well, we think it's pretty sexy.
Yeah. Yes. Tell us a little bit more about your process and how you fit into the engineering of these buildings.
Yeah, happy to. You know, so in a lot of projects like that you mentioned, you know, we're, you know, structural engineer, mechanical, electrical, plumbing engineer, civil, landscape architect, surveyors, et cetera. And projects like that, we're partnering with architects. But there's also a lot of other things we do, like on transportation projects where we are the transportation engineer, the civil engineer. And those are projects led completely by our staff.
And so when you say, let's get into transportation projects, what do you do? You're the one who figures out where things go. How do we move traffic from this side and keep that going so we work on this side?
Staging like that? Yeah, for sure. But you also figure out, you know, turn lanes, vertical curves, all sorts of exciting things around how road systems work, how parking systems operate, et cetera.
You touch our lives in so many ways, right?
So you must find all the road construction just fascinating.
Oh, I love it every day, twice a day.
Pat Cresson is with us. Pat, you've been transitioning into this role quite some time. You've been president, but now CEO. John Kissinger just wrapped up his amazing career at the helm of Grafe. So just talk about what that – I don't imagine, or I'm not hearing, there's some major culture shift going on over there.
Oh, no, not at all. You know, John, you know, was a great leader for 14 years and a mentor of mine for most of my career, and really gave me a good runway this last year and a half to help us, you know, make some tweaks. You know, we had a lot of leadership changes this last year, but it gave us an opportunity for our fourth generation of leadership to kind of all get our vision pulled together and start executing it.
How much of you, I mean, I know you have locations throughout the country, even all over the world. So how much of you is based right here in Milwaukee? And then tell us about sort of your national and international reach.
Yeah, we have about 175 here in Milwaukee and about 125 in 8 other locations. Madison, Green Bay, Minneapolis, Chicago, and then Orlando, Sarasota, Miami, and Turks and Caicos just for fun.
That sounds like a good place.
Yeah, that's, you spend a lot of time in that office?
Hey, I got to go back.
These guys down here, I really need to head down there.
Is there a challenge when it comes to changing leadership? Because you want to stay steady and keep the battleship directed right in the right direction, but at the same time, can't rest on your laurels as well, right? You have to have vision and be able to see something that might need to change before it happens.
Yeah, one of the first things I did when I knew I was going to take over as CEO is I went and met with everybody who works for us in person throughout the country for at least 30 minutes to understand where they thought the firm should go, and got a lot of really great ideas and great feedback. And now we're working on executing those pieces.
Is it as simple as, like, I think the garbage cans should be on the other side?
I bet you it is some small stuff.
Number one was coffee.
You got to take care of them, Pat.
Got to have coffee.
So when you become a CEO of a major corporate player, particularly in a city our size, right, you enter a pretty exclusive club. You have great responsibility outside of just your doors. So how do you view your role here now in business and as a community leader in Milwaukee?
So, you know, for me, I kind of look at my role at Grafe as a steward as well as someone to help listen and execute our vision. As far as within our city, it's very similar. I think I'm really passionate about improving education, specifically STEM, for some of our young future engineers and architects, I hope. So Grafe has really sponsored, whether that's ACE mentorship program or gotten involved with Discovery World or other organizations that help improve education as well as things around STEM.
I'm a little bit worried about development slowing down in Milwaukee. I'm certainly not alone in that, and it's certainly not unique to Milwaukee. So what do you see happening with the development picture right now in our city?
So I think it's been a little bit slower. I think the city of Milwaukee's actually made some improvements from their process to help improve that. Right now, I think it's still tied to maybe a little bit of interest rates. Interest rates come down a little bit, I think you'd see a lot of things pop. But there's been a lot of, you know, great investment coming to our region with down in Mount Pleasant, Port Washington, and a lot of development will follow those people coming in now.
I think oftentimes one of the questions that folks would have when they see another skyscraper being built or more development in the city, it's really neat to see and really cool, but they also wonder, like, okay, well, are they all going to get filled, right? Yep. Like, and obviously this doesn't necessarily fall under your purview, but the effect of development, does that come into play when considering logistics and considering all this, whether or not the building will be at capacity?
Well, generally, they don't start unless a bank or the investors have pretty good confidence that buildings are going to be used and filled. And that's where, you know, recently we saw one that got stopped. And I think that was because of confidence from the investor side that they weren't sure it was going to be filled.
I'm a big skyscraper guy myself. I'm a big skyline guy. I think I'd like 10 more. In Milwaukee or whatever. Do you have a projection as to how many more 30 plus story high rises the community can bear?
Well, at this point, we're averaging probably one every 7-8 years, maybe. I think we could probably use another high rise office eventually. Mm-hmm. The housing, I think we got to wait for the rest of that housing to be filled before they start building more things. Now, we've been helping Milwaukee County work on what's the future of the museum site. And that's a great location for one or two story towers as well.
Mm-hmm. And so you look at that as a catalytic site, one of these things where you put this there, that creates a new destination.
Yep,
right.
Exactly.
Activates. That's another popular word that we use. Deer District was sort of much like this. Now it could be a contiguous space of new things.
Yeah. The key for adding more businesses is really adding housing. You take a look at the downtowns that have had revivals. It's because they've added more, you know, more apartments, more even low income housing is helpful too.
Has the role of a CEO changed over the years? I feel like it's different now. Just the fact that you said you've met with everybody seems different than what, you know, when we were kids, what a CEO, I mean, I don't even know if you knew the names of most CEOs back in the day compared to now where they're almost, I don't want to call them celebrities, but you know what I mean? Like a lot of their names are well known. Have you noticed that? Does that change what you're going to do?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I think, you know, when I first started in this, the CEO just told you what to do. They never asked your opinion.
It's kind of nice.
Why is this guy still talking to me? Get him out of here.
So I think it is different, you know, and I continue to travel to all of our offices twice a year and hear from our people and help them, you know, try to see where the firm's going, what makes them passionate. Because at the end of the day, I'm in the people business. I'm in the promoting people, educating people, building leadership skills so they build in their career, and that helps us as a firm.
Interested to hear your thoughts on this because we talk to a lot of leaders at the top and also hiring managers, people in businesses of all kind. about what they're seeing in the workforce that is coming out. And one thing that we hear consistently is we may have young people who are very educated and might be very skilled, but they're lacking soft skills. They're lacking ability to work in a team. They're lacking ability to lead.
To
their
deal
communication
with a deadline.
Skills. Yes, yep. Deadlines, yep. Or performance anxiety, all of those things. What are you seeing, and how does it relate to what you do?
Yeah, we've had to be get in the business of drafting and developing. And with yes. that, we have internal programs that help train our people, whether it's in business development, which is really social skills, and or managing projects or teams, et cetera. It's partially, I don't know if it's the education systems issue or if it's more of just a generational thing, but it is a skills gap that we as an employer have to fill.
Pat Cresson is the not so new president, but new CEO of Grafe right here in downtown Milwaukee. Great to see you, Pat, and best of luck. And don't be a stranger. You lived right upstairs.
Yeah.
Come
thank
on
you
down
both.
Anytime.
Won't you please, please won't you be my neighbor? Hi, neighbor. I'm glad we're together again.
You turned me on.
.922 on Wisconsin's Morning News this Wednesday morning. President is on the ground in Beijing, China. Landed, just after 7 o'clock our time this morning. Air Force One wheels down, and the president descended the staircase to the cheers of a delegation assembled to welcome him. There was a red carpet bordered on both sides by Chinese youth who were waving American and Chinese flags. It was a choreographed welcome.
It is Wednesday. Yeah, absolutely. Wednesday night there. Talks are set for Thursday in China. So
yeah, they're a little more than half a day ahead of us. So it's almost 10:30 in the evening in Beijing. So we've been saying Thursday is when President Trump would meet with Chinese President Xi Jinping. And that could be overnight our time. I haven't seen the full itinerary or list of scheduled stops. The president is also traveling with a delegation of more than a dozen U.S. CEOs.
A lot of CEOs with him.
Elon Musk is with them. Tim Cook of Apple among those who are traveling with the president, because what they really want to be talking about is trade, although they'll be talking a lot about Iran.
Although the president did say that we don't need China's help with Iran. So what does that mean? Does that mean Iran? I mean, that has to be on the table. That has to be part of the discussion.
The hope being that can, for an assortment of reasons, one, because Iran gets a ton of oil from, or sorry, because China gets a ton of
from
oil
Iran,
from Iran,
right.
and can't be excited about the Strait of Hormuz being closed, but also because it has economic interests both there and in the U.S. When you have instability anywhere in the world, but particularly in the Middle East, that can screw up the money talk, right? Yep. And both President Trump and President Xi of China, they both speak cash. And so as the war relates to the ability to conduct business globally, there can be some leverage there. The hope is that would Xi lean on the Iranians to figure something out here. Or, I don't know, maybe if you're in Iran, you're thinking, I don't know, lean on this guy to get him to back off.
Right, right.
So who knows how that's all going to play out. While we're on Iran, I did think this was interesting. I wanted to bring it to you. There was this report from CBS News. You remember there was supposed to be this second meeting. We talked a lot about this on the show. There are issues of trade and all these things, but remember the mediator in the war in Iran? We remarked on it during the show. Pakistan trying to emerge as a new player.
Islamabad
on the world stage.
Talks.
Yes, yes. In offering to and heretofore unsuccessfully brokering peace talks between the U.S. and Iran. Last time any U.S. leaders got face to face with Iran on the issue was in Islamabad. And that was about a month ago. Pakistan made a big deal of its role. We both sensed a sort of, well, this is kind of new. They're a new player and are they trying to show the world something here? They made a, what did they have, posters and
they had all, yeah, they
banners
cleared,
up
they had,
throughout the city?
They were sending people home from work. They had banners up that said Islamabad talks. They had a
yes.
huge podium. It was almost NFL draft-esque.
Yeah, they wanted to capitalize on this moment of, hey, we're a big-time nation.
Yep, yep. All eyes are on us.
We're brokering this deal. There was supposed to be a second meeting that so far has not happened. Pakistan wants to get everybody back. Not sure if that's going to happen, as there are new questions this morning about whether the Pakistanis are honest brokers here. A report from CBS News, senior White House reporter Jennifer Jacobs. This is what she wrote. As Pakistan positioned itself as a diplomatic conduit between Tehran and Washington, it quietly allowed Iranian military aircraft to park in its country, potentially shielding them from U.S. airstrikes, sources told Jim LaPorta and me. So U.S. Senator Lindsey Graham brought this up at a Senate hearing. Testifying were U.S. Air Force General Dan Kane. You've heard from him in the mornings and these updates and the briefings. He's the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, as well as Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth. Here's the exchange with Senator Graham.
Are you aware of reports that Pakistan are allowing their bases to be used to park Iranian aircraft, General Kane?
Sir, I've seen one report on that.
Well, is it accurate?
Sir, I think based on the variety of classification matters.
Let me just say, do you agree if it is accurate, that is sort of inconsistent with it being a peace mediator?
Sir, I wouldn't want to comment on that based on the ongoing negotiations in Pakistan's
Secretary.
Okay, let me just jump in here real quick. So this is Senator Lindsey Graham, Republican, big Trump supporter.
And was a big fan of going to war with Iran.
Right. Talking to, that was Chairman of the Joint Chiefs, Dan Kane, General Dan Kane. And now he's going to direct his, so getting nowhere with with General Kane,
right,
he's
right.
Now directing his attention to Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth.
Hegseth, if the mediator is allowing reconnaissance aircraft of Iran to be parked in Pakistani air bases, do you think that's consistent with being a fair mediator?
I wouldn't want to get in the middle of these negotiations.
Yeah.
I want
well,
maximum
I do.
Efficacy
I want to get
people.
In the middle of these negotiations. I don't trust Pakistan as far as I can throw them. If they actually do have Iranian aircraft parked in Pakistan bases to protect Iranian military assets, that tells me we should be looking maybe for somebody else to mediate. No wonder this damn thing is going nowhere.
So since that, CBS News reporting, after Pakistan previously denied those aircraft were parked there, is now admitting it, but saying there's nothing to see here. Back to CBS senior White House reporter Jennifer Jacobs again. After previously denying it, Pakistani officials confirmed the following. The Iranian aircraft currently parked in Pakistan arrived during the ceasefire period and bear no linkage whatsoever to any military contingency or preservation arrangement. The Ministry of Foreign Affairs said in a statement Tuesday. It goes on to just say nothing to see here. Maybe there is, maybe there isn't. One of the reasons I played that for you is I just chuckle. I like Senator Graham because he's direct. He says what's on his mind. Agree or disagree with his politics, but I just like that line of question. I don't really want to get into. Well, I do. I want to know some answers
right,
here.
Right.
And shouldn't you guys have the answers to these questions? Are we dealing with a quote-unquote peace broker here? Who's putting its thumb on the scale?
No, he didn't want to speak on it, though. He kind of, you could hear him say, look, this is classified stuff. Clearly he had answers he could provide, but was choosing not to given the classified nature of the intel.
And I'll respect that for the general as well as the Secretary of Defense to a degree because, well, I don't know, this may or may not be true. We may or may not have all the information.
And it may or may not be as bad as it sounds.
Right. It could be a lot of things, and we don't want to blow up our negotiator here
right.
if we may ultimately go that route. I get that, but I do think the senator was well within his responsibility to say, I don't know if we trust these guys, and maybe there's a reason that these talks keep going nowhere. We'll see if President Trump gets anywhere with President Xi in his visit this week. Coming up on 9:30 here on Wisconsin.
Hey, breaking news, but a high-profile trial, Alex Murdaugh, South Carolina. So Alex Murdaugh is a pretty well-known name in South Carolina, charged with and then later convicted of killing his wife Maggie and his son Paul on the family's hunting property. This became a huge Netflix story. Big documentary about it.
I wasn't remembering it until I couldn't place it until you put his picture up. I'm like, oh, that guy.
Yep. South Carolina Supreme Court is overturning his double murder conviction. And now they're ordering a new trial. The court ruling that issues raised in Murdaugh's appeal, including allegations that the former county clerk had improperly influenced jurors, warranted further proceedings. So he was sentenced to these two consecutive life sentences. His wife, Maggie, his son, Paul, his other son still alive and was in the courtroom through much of this. He was accused of killing both of them, but soon after his conviction, the defense team filed this appeal accusing the former county clerk of improperly influencing jurors during the trial. They argued in their filing that the comments that she made to jurors about Murda and his testimony violated his Sixth Amendment rights.
Why is the clerk talking to jurors right. about testimony?
And that was a lot of, that's what they were asking.
Whoa.
Hey, what are we doing here? And Supreme Court agreed. State Supreme Court. So now the convictions have been overturned and a new trial, they're going to have to do it again, has been ordered.
That's got to be devastating for, unless the family, I can't remember, did the
Were
other
the other
son,
brother?
Yeah. Testify
he
in
was
favor
there.
Of dad?
I don't recall if he is friends with him anymore, if they have a relationship, so to speak.
So either way, to have to go through this ordeal again for those people who were close to this family, for all the investigators as well that need to now prepare for another trial, all of those things, this is a huge mess. If it was indeed a miscarriage of justice, well, then this is how the system works, and that's why we have appeals. But either way, the only folks happy about this are going to be the networks and the Netflixes and all the others.
They're jumping all
over
it.
Very interested. 9:41 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
We've all been there, right? Many parents know the sound of a middle or high school band concert. This is middle school, obviously.
I didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but I really hope that's middle school. Not bad for middle school.
We've sat through them. We've enjoyed them. We've reminisced about them. We've seen our children grow and develop into phenomenal players of music in some cases, right? Well, it's a whole different story right now in Watertown.
I've been able to talk.
All right.
That is how it sounded in Watertown at a school board meeting. A school board member saying he had had enough after the back and forth. What about? What are they arguing about? Well, this song. A Mother of a Revolution. It's a song that was written in 2019. The composer says it's about a trans activist, trans woman, who in the 1960s was part of an uprising in New York City. So the school board was discussing this matter because there's been some criticism of this song being played in its performance coming up next week. There are no lyrics. But the school board held its meeting on Tuesday night to discuss it, and there were a lot of people there.
First of all, I'd like to welcome all the out-of-town visitors, and thank you for all the emails submitted from all over the country, really. The music lobby is very strong.
Oof. The music lobby is very strong, he said there at the end. That's one of the school board members speaking.
That wasn't a sincere thank you.
Yeah, it's a tongue-in-cheek. Yeah, and he was being sarcastic because there were some people from outside of Watertown. But to be fair, there were Watertown students there as well. At issue isn't just the song itself and who wrote it and what it is said to be about and what inspired the writing. At issue is also the fact that the band director had followed what he says were the proper protocols when it comes to controversial songs like this one. Sent a letter home to parents last fall, said, hey, students have the right to opt out. And three students did opt out of wanting to perform the song. Two of them were siblings, according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. So here we are months later, a week before the concert, now a decision to yank the song from the program. Students who have been playing it were frustrated.
It's a band piece with no lyrics, that is very technically challenging. And we have worked so hard for months.
That is one student who spoke at the hearing on Tuesday night. Ultimately, the Watertown School Board decided, nope, too controversial, got to get rid of it. It will not be played. They voted 7-1.
This is a perfect example of what everyone sitting at this table ran on, which was ending indoctrination in the classrooms, and ending radical curriculum.
Yeah, so that didn't sit well with everybody there, but they decided, hey, look, this is what we said we were going to do all along. We were going to get rid of songs that we believe, or any kind of curriculum that we believe is over the top or radicalization. I'm not saying that right. But in this case, they decided to pull the song.
Hard one. I mean, I legitimately see both sides of the debate. I mean, some of the folks who... didn't you have a school board member who suggested, like, if you want to be mad at somebody, don't be mad at the school board. This was brought to our attention. We serve the people of Watertown. The people of Watertown, at least in their perception, put us up here to make decisions like this, and that's what we're doing. If you want to be upset that the band director bothered to choose this in the first place.
Yep, and I have that, and I can bring that to you. On the flip side, band director did what he was supposed to do when it came to this type of curriculum.
And on the flip side, art is supposed to generate conversation and debate and objection and move us and make us feel things and think things. And so isn't that what art is? I get it.
Here's the comment from the school board member about who's really at fault.
He chose a controversial piece from a plethora of over 1,000 pieces at a concert that is going to be performed in front of the entire district. So I do think that you do have a right to be disappointed. You should be disappointed in your educator that instead of educating you and picking a piece that wouldn't cause controversy, that he instead chose a piece that was going to incite controversy in our community.
So at the beginning, played you a part of a school board member standing up and losing his mind, and I was trying to figure out what was said, because it was getting pretty intense. Regardless of where you sit on the matter, you can, I mean, there were, both sides are getting a little heated. You could hear in that, in her voice, she was that school board member there talking. That usually when you hear that tone, that's someone who's speaking from the crowd. In this case, that was a school board member. So I think this is what was said. I think someone accused them of embarrassing the country and embarrassing Watertown. Here it is, if you listen closely.
I've been able to talk.
That is it.
And that's what did it. You're embarrassing the country, and that's what frustrated that school board member.
All right, that's enough.
School board.
And this is a school board meeting.
School board.
About school. Band.
Yep. No, play the Louie Louie again to go out. You have that.
That's a little bit more fun. Okay, yeah, we can do that. We'll send it on that note.
Right, and we have, you know. There you go. See, this makes you happy.
WTMJ, W277CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee. From the Annex Wealth Management Studios, this is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma Brand station.
On Wisconsin's Morning News. Story to watch through the day. The state capitol in Madison, where the Wisconsin State Assembly is to take up this bipartisan agreement. And bipartisan, we mean it was agreed upon by the leadership in the Republican-led legislature and the Democratic governor of Wisconsin. This deal that would return hundreds of dollars individually, $600 for joint filers to taxpayers, and also deliver tons of money to local school districts. Critics suggest it's not a long-term fix, and it unnecessarily depletes the budget surplus without more thoughtful deliberation. What do we see going on here now? I just saw Speaker Voss.
Yeah, State Representative Benjamin Franklin now speaking. He's out at the pier. Talking about the tips right now, because that is also part of this bill.
So they haven't started the floor session. This is their pre-session. Assembly leadership and Republicans holding a news conference ahead of the session, which is expected to gavel in shortly after this then,
Unfortunately, it's off mic. It's a little bit hard to hear.
It doesn't matter. We've heard all the arguments here at this point. I don't know what more
it is curious
to
see, though.
Let me see what you do.
Let's see what people do. Yeah. Because there are Democrats who don't like it. There are Republicans who don't like it. Do you have enough to pass it through? Especially in the state Senate. The assembly is underway this hour, or at least in the next
90 minutes, you'd expect.
If it broke along party lines in the assembly, you have enough for even a few Republicans to defect. There were a few assembly members on the Republican side who had some objections to it. Most notably, though, the one that's getting most of the attention is the one who's in Congress, Tom Tiffany, yeah. because he wants mm-hmm. to be your next governor, and he ripped the plan.
And many would say, well, he's got to rip the plan. He doesn't really have a choice because he's running for governor. So that's a strategic campaign ploy there. In fact, who was it? It was State Representative Nealon, I want to say, who was asked about it.
So Nealon, he had an event like in Oak Creek.
He was in Oak Creek.
Right?
AJ Biotpour from Channel 58 asked him about the fact that Tiffany's a no.
Is it unhelpful for your party's candidate for governor to publicly say he opposes this?
Not at all. I mean, I think if I was the runner for governor, I'd probably say the same thing. You know, he's running on a platform of long-term sustained tax relief.
And Democrats, meanwhile, are frustrated with this because, A, they don't want to give Republicans a win with the rebate checks. They also feel they weren't really let in on the conversations with the governor. And they don't think it's enough to deal with the education funding that's at play. So there are candidates for governor on both sides frustrated with this bill going through. So will that impact the actual vote? That's the big question.
Well, right. And Congressman Tiffany has the luxury of being able to be on the sidelines now where his vote, he doesn't have a vote as it is per se. Right. So you can easily be critical and have told other Republican leadership, listen, just so you guys know, I'm going to come out and rip this. But I mean, you know, go ahead and do what you want to do.
Right. I mean, in that, unfortunately or fortunately,
could be one of those winker nods, right.
Yeah. It could affect things. It really depends on what they really want to happen. But it's going through. I mean, they expect the vote on it today.
News conference in the assembly is happening now. We'll wait to see if it does indeed pass when the state Senate would take it up for debate and perhaps a vote. That is expected still this week. Coming up on 9:58, that'll do it for us here on Wisconsin's Morning News. Point taken with Steve Scafidi and Kristen Bryant next on News Radio 620 WTMJ.
I wore this fancy duck tie in honor of the three lame ducks that brought us here today.